Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm not sure why I just said welcome or whatever I just said. Anyway, I do appreciate you listening. Please hit like on the episode, follow the podcast or like the podcast, whatever your particular platform allows. And I want to point out something. I'm doing some casual reading over on Epoch Times and something that I noticed too. Have you noticed how they're telling you, in essence, they're calling it allergic. Do not take blah, blah if you're allergic to, and they're using it as a broad generic term, and it becomes circular. Hey, if you're going to have a bad reaction, then don't take it. It's like, yeah, but aren't you supposed to be telling me what the bad reaction is? And not that they don't list it, but I just find that interesting. I mean, we know sometimes they go on and on and on, and they go, don't take such and such if you're allergic to. And it's like, and it's allergic to it. It's like, well, how would I know? Isn't that what you should be informing me of? What do you mean, don't take it if you're allergic to? So it reminds me of this, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who is another all-time hero, just for the pure willpower. And so she said in regards to this, or rather inside, or they're referring to it in this article, called 95% of corpses had received COVID vaccination within 2 weeks of death, funeral director. So this kind of goes along with my previous episode where I said, listen, I've seen the clots. I've seen the picture of the clots. They're not clots. They're fibrous. They're new fibers being formed inside blood vessels. You can go listen to those episodes. They're fairly succinct. Actually, one of them was a little bit long, but the point was it cited, and then I had in the description, I had plenty of, and then I just kind of, analyzed afterwards and reacted afterwards. So look in the description of that. That's closer to 40 minutes. Most of my stuff lately is in the range of, 7 to 25 minutes. So you can go back to that. But that's where I said, hey, I've talked about it a lot. Here's where a couple of people on the ground have discussed it. So you can think of this as a follow-up to this. This is a funeral director over in New Zealand. I mean, straight up, New Zealand is not big on alternative narratives. Let me just say that. And so for funeral director from New Zealand to say this, good for him or her. And I guess it's a him, Brenton Faithful with two L's. And so I'm going to get back to that. But right up front, I want to say what my point here was. Tenpenny saying, listen to this. Listen to this language. On December 2nd, 2020, UK regular, no, actually she is weighing in on Faithful's testimony. On December 2nd, 2020, UK regulators granted emergency use authorization to Pfizer's COVID-19 shot. Within a week, MHRA, and I don't know if that particularly means the New Zealand agency, but it's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. If she's responding to this, that should be what she's referring to. Chief Executive Officer June Rain with an E at the end, said in a statement that, quote, any person with a history of anaphylaxis to a vaccine, medicine, or food should not receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Okay, now how highly was that? See how they kind of cover, but then the narrative pushers make sure that these types of, hey, we said it. No, we didn't cover it on 1/1000th the scale of how much we said that you should take it, 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 you should take it. But we did say, well, if you have a history of anaphylaxis, which means allergic reaction. And so any person with a history of anaphylaxis to a vaccine, medicine, or food should not receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So, two things. One is, as I said, hey, if you're allergic to it, you shouldn't take it. But of course, there's the distinction here of, well, at least here they said history. But how many people were forced to have vaccines for this that may have, or really psychologically forced to, but some of them strictly forced to, especially down in New Zealand and Australia, who wouldn't know about their history of vaccines, never mind that. These are not the vaccines you're looking for. And these are not your father's vaccines. Literally and figuratively, not your father's vaccines, an entirely different deal. So do you know if you're allergic to mRNA vaccines that have your body create new proteins? What is, quote, allergic? And to follow up with whether what I'm saying means allergic, this is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She wanted to say that, quote, allergic reactions had not been a feature of Pfizer's clinical trials. So meaning drawing the distinction there, Dr. Tenpenny told the Epoch Times. However, Tenpenny further noted that anaphylaxis was the first identified risk. Pfizer was forced to release their findings by a Texas federal judge in January 2022. Within that first tranche of documents, never heard that word. I love it when my vocabulary, which is bigger than it was when I was a smart 19-year-old, but still not that big. I love it when it's challenged and expanded. Tranche. Within that first tranche of documents, you will find Table 3 safety concerns on page 10 of this document. And then she points to the PDF. The first identified risk is anaphylaxis. In a risk survey conducted between December 1st, 2020, and February 28, 2021, a mere 3 months, 1,833 cases of anaphylaxis had been observed, and 4 individuals died from anaphylaxis on the same. So I guess that finishes my point on the idea that, hey, but not if you're allergic. But how much was that emphasized? And even then, how much does it apply? But now going to the separated point of this funeral director's claims, he does get specific. Again, it's a funeral director in New Zealand. He says 95% of the people who have passed away through the work that I've done have been vaccinated within 2 weeks. Now, remember, this goes along with my previous work on isn't it interesting that let me find it real quick. This is such an interesting overlap of data that, unlike my man George Norrie at night, hey, George, it'd be nice if you'd synthesize some of the knowledge you had. So when you heard when one person claimed something, you could go, hey, by the way, so-and-so says this. Now, how does that affect your opinion? And, you know, see if that, see what they say about that. So I try to synthesize at least a little bit, as opposed to just giving you a bunch of separate data points and claims. So let me find that one really quick, because I had a good overlapping article about, oh, isn't it interesting that they don't start counting COVID deaths as related to the vaccine in the first 2 weeks? No. It's not a vaccine death then, if it's within 2 weeks. It's still just let me find that for you. All right. So this is from a good episode, 28 minutes, probably most of. I do have the a little bit of the time code here, and so you can look at that if you don't have the full 28 minutes. But hey, that's what 1.5 and 2 times is worth, or just pausing and listening to the rest later. Quick rant of truth 22, 14 days for it to be, quote, not a vax death. FDA knew bad effects 13 months ago and more. So this is the first time where I discovered that in October of 2020, they had slides that said the bad effects, but I didn't cover here that they barely touched on them, just that they knew them before the vaccine was even put out, but did not really highlight them. And so I think that this is correct because I put it in the description, but you can listen. Definitely something is not called a, quote, vax case unless a full 2 weeks after the jab. So it is at least is concerning that proven liars may also be calling deaths within 14 days non-vax deaths, misassigning blame away from scumbags who propagandized a product to near compulsion before they tested it well. Oh, not that you need to know my opinion. Should I let you know what I really, really think? So, yes, so that I thought is an interesting overlap, because here we have somebody going, well, 14, let me find that again. Let me go back to the right tab. One-handed, it's sometimes a little weird. Yeah, just to happen to be an overlap of the funeral director's observation. And he said, it's very obvious. They die within 2 weeks of receiving the vaccination, a lot of them. almost appear to have died from anaphylaxis, almost a reaction straight away to the booster. And I've told you this, it's speculative, but it's not speculative without some education. Sometimes it's because we know that it causes spike proteins throughout the body. And so if somebody accidentally sends those spike protein production into the blood vessel, because now more people administer vaccines than ever, then that could be the near immediate reaction, like the ones where we see an hour or two, as opposed to, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 6 months or, you know, 7 months when they have been healthy, but they've had their, you know, both shots, or they've had both of the original shots plus the booster. So he says 95% of the corpses he has been seeing had received the COVID-19 vaccine within 2 weeks of their passing away. And he does get to specifics. It's not very broad. It's kind of a little bit anecdotal, only in that it's a small number. But you think about this, 95% means he's at least talking about 20 people. I do think that that's exactly what he's talking about, but that's still a lot of people. And it's a specific target, like how many of them died and how many had been vaxxed recently. So we're going to get to that and that confirmation, but let me see whether or not, you know, he says other interesting quotes between now and then. So the same funeral director, this New Zealand funeral director with the last name of Faithful with two L's, says that when I started counting in August of last year, so 2021, it was one after the other, after the other, after the other. And when I got to 20, it was 19 who had died within 2 weeks of getting the vaccine. Now that of getting the vaccine is in brackets, but that's the context. That's what the brackets are for. Just want to tell you that's not a straight quote there. And back to quotes. So the first 20 days, I counted 19 of them. That's 95%. The next number was 100% of the people who died have been vaccinated within 2 weeks. I'm not sure exactly the definition there. I mean, obviously, I believe that it's 100%, but like over how, what number, over what period of time, don't know. But he's very specific. 20 died, and 19 of them had been vaccinated within 2 weeks. So I'm not sure how he found that information. Maybe, you know, maybe New Zealand is a little bit more transparent with that as far as a funeral director being able to get back to that information. Maybe he had somebody in the place where they could get that information, say, hey, could you, but he claims to have gotten to that information. Another person, and this is a Dr. Sanjay we can trust, not Gupta celebrity doctor, blah, blah, blah. Another Dr. Sanjay. Dr. Sanjay Verma is a cardiologist practicing in California, also seeing a dramatic increase in heart problems since the rollout of the vaccine. We've told you how and why. That is another Epoch Times article. Just email me and I'll give you a guest account. Just kidding. Don't have enough guest accounts. Quote, previous work by Dr. Gundry demonstrated an increase, okay, in cardiac. I don't know why we're talking Sanjay's, so maybe this person also refers to theirs. So let's just read it. This is, quote, previous work by Dr. Gundry demonstrated an increase in cardiac inflammatory markers after COVID-19 vaccination. Now, that I have covered before. There are certain markers that say what risk factors do you have towards cardiac problems? And many places have covered these risk factors going up significantly, not in 2020, maybe a little bit in 2020, I'm not sure, but definitely in 2021, which the difference between the years is basically night and day, because in essence, when the vaccines got mass available, that was 2021 and not 2020. So continuing the quote then, interestingly, from December 2021 through June 2022, 100% of the patients needing urgent cardiac catheterization for heart attacks had been vaccinated. Now, this is Dr. Gundry's work. I'm not sure how broad that is. So this doesn't mean across the United States. It means wherever they're talking about, which we may get to here later on. But just want to be careful you don't misquote that. It's not 100% of everybody across the United States. But even across the sampling, that is still quite significant. So 100% of the patients needing urgent cardiac catheterization for heart attack had been vaccinated, many of them with booster doses. More than half had been recently vaccinated, parentheses within a few weeks. That's not bracketed, so I'm not sure why they parentheses that. If the person said it, it should be in parentheses. In a county where 60% of the population is vaccinated, this trend was worrisome. So then apparently Dr. Gundry's work that Verma is quoted is talking about an entire county to the extent that the data that they were able to pull showed that entire county. But the other interesting thing that I want to tell you about this is the point here is that it was not far from 50-50. So how is it that it's 100% were the ones that had been vaccinated when, you know, you had 40% of the population to pull from that were not? Now, is that statistically significant? Probably. But if the data is never done with an official study, then we don't have to worry about showing statistical significance, do we? Never mind the little tricks that they do, as I covered back when a certain, I think, John Abramson, maybe? I don't know if that's right. But anyway, a big-time research study doctor said on Joe Rogan Experience, where what they can do is simply not have to register how many different patients were in the study to begin with. So maybe they start with 341, and then they find out that for the worst side effects that, I don't know, let's say it's 30 people had it. And how do you make it non-statistical? You non-statistically significant. You take out, this is probably not right, but I'm feeding you the point. How you go from statistically significant to not statistically significant. So then your conclusion can be, we did not find anything statistically significant as to whether or not this caused this problem. You go from 30 people having it to 27. And so what you do is take those exact three targeted people out of the study. Isn't that swift? Isn't that entirely disingenuous and reptilian-minded? I say that as an expression, not literally. Although there is that, right? Right, David Icke? We don't need to go there, but we can say that is truly reptilian-minded to say, hey, we'll just take out the ones that change it from statistically significant to statistically insignificant. So yes, of course, we have maybe a lack of statistical significance because maybe we just don't do the test. We don't do the statistical significance. Now, continuing with Verma, there have been 31,470 deaths after COVID-19 vaccine reported in VAERS. Let me just look at this to see if it's very impressive before I continue with that quote. All right, this is actually really significant. This is good stuff from this Verma. Says there have been 31,470 deaths after COVID-19 vaccinations reported in VAERS. Guys, I'm going to get the statistically huge difference. This is big. The vast majority of them are clustered within 7 days after vaccination. Additionally, there are some other worrisome trends. Data from CDC, I don't know if that's purely VAERS or not, because VAERS is a little tricky. Like, as more people understood to be VAERS, VAERS is really a poor statistical tool if not followed up upon to make more solid, right? This should be the leading indicator of whether to look into things further by a responsible CDC, a responsible FDA, whoever all it would be. But it's not necessarily, because unfortunately, because it's self-reporting, right? It's not really, it's not a clinical trial. It's not set up like a clinical trial, but it should be like the leading, if you will, canary in the coal mine of whether one is due. if one is not already been in, done or in the works. So according to them, it's not theirs per se. So I'm a little confused on this, but we're getting to the very statistically important part. Data from CDC. So Verma's not saying whether that's theirs, and Verma specifically referred to theirs just two sentences ago. So data from CDC indicate there were 60,000 deaths in September 19 and September 2020. So across two different Septembers, in a month, there were 60,000 deaths. But however, in September 2021, that number surged to 90,000. Okay, September 2020, no vaccines yet. Oh, but we are supposedly in the heart of this horrific pandemic of bad data, of sloppy data. That's what we are in the pandemic of. Am I saying that there was no COVID? Absolutely not. Am I saying the data was shitty? Yes, absolutely. We've covered that over and over again between Chemology 411 and this podcast. The data was shitty. So we know that there wasn't any vaccine regardless. But then in September 21, the first September, where we had plenty of time for plenty of vaccines to be given, up to and including boosters, 90,000 deaths. 50% more. By the way, I'll give a quick plug. I do follow, I don't know if he's anywhere else except Telegram. Someone told me about him on Telegram. I follow him on Telegram. And there's going to be a movie out soon called Died Suddenly. I mention this because Verma's next sentence is, we also have numerous social media posts on people, especially athletes, who, quote, died suddenly, end quote, with no apparent cause. So 50,000 deaths more. And I don't think that's theirs. The mere fact that 50,000, I'm sorry, 50% more. Sorry about that. 50% more deaths, that is a giant. I mean, that is incredibly statistically significant. 30,000 more deaths, 55,000 people died in Vietnam, Americans anyway. And that's two-thirds of Vietnam in 1 month as excess deaths. Where are they coming from? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Remember, I've talked about, hey, I also have an episode go, well, do you really need to get to absolute statistical certainty? And this is what's so funny about these skeptics, Skeptic Magazine. I'm not saying that one in particular. I could be wrong about that. But many, quote, skeptics, really, their final argument is, you don't have that absolutely proven. I'm going to say the S word for a third time. No shit, Sherlock. Nothing is absolutely proven unless you've got video of it, and it's just whether the thing on the video itself is proven. Right? And so the skeptics will, you know, stand there all like, there's still room for that. And but then they, you know, then they will, by omission, kind of be okay with other things that are not proven. So skeptics are the worst. Someone who identifies purely as a skeptic, broadly, if you identify as a skeptic and act the way the most skeptics do, all you do is hide behind the fact that almost nothing can be 100% proven, but then you pick your topics on that. So this is one of those. I've had an episode on that. And let me find that real quick. Not to blow my horn, but just to give you some reference to follow up on that point. All right, here it is. It was on a pretty specific thing, but then I spoke more broadly and gave good analogies. This quick rant of Truth 32. You don't need the smoking gun, not when the claim is against all of world history and reality. So same idea. At some point, the statistical significance basically makes the conclusion. I mean, when you go up 50%, I mean, listen, the death rate in a developed country that is not in the middle of war, that has been the same culture for decades and decades, these things don't move very much. You're talking about 0.5%, 0.75% is probably a pretty big move if your statistics and your statistical measures are also mature. And so 50% more is basically there, like the world should stop to investigate this in a civilized and honest country, which unfortunately we are no more. And the globe is basically not. You have people talking about it, but if our institutions were honest and truly cared about looking at things equally, a 50% death in, and I'm not saying that this guy is saying that it's that great over a whole year, but even if it's more than that in 1 month, that should be the headline of headlines. And there should immediately, everything should stop. And everybody involved with anything to do with what could possibly be the,
Gee, what was happening? Now, what was in September 19? In September 2020? And then what was different? What would be a potential big difference in September 2021? Was it hotter than usual? I don't think that does it. September 2021. Oh, maybe it's a certain football team that hadn't had a lot of success, was having more success, and so people were so surprised it. A bunch of people died out of pure surprise. Is there any football team that might have caused 30,000 extra surprise deaths? What could be different about I wonder what was different in a mass way that could have potentially affected the health of many men? I just can't. Clyde, can you think? Anthony, can you think of? Yeah, I can't think of a thing. Let's go on.
I mean, seriously? And so let's see what else we got here. And so remember, I've told you before, and I'm telling you, this is a way to look at it. The spike protein, if it is an essence. Listen. This is a layman's term, the layman's way to do it. But we know what it's shaped like. We know it causes blood vessel damage. Anything that causes blood vessel damage can lead to cardiovascular problems. So, quoting, so you don't have to hear it from me again, while Verma says, hey, don't you think unexplained deaths within a few weeks should be really looked at with an autopsy? So that we can get to the bottom of this? Nope. Who knows? Am I right? Who knows what happened to the 32-year-old? I mean, we're not here to figure that. That's exactly what you're there for, actually. Exactly what you're there. I mean, could be anything. Am I right? You're not right. You're not right at all. So, quote, we know the spike protein is toxic to blood vessels, causing endothelial dysfunction. That's the lining, right? Well, I mean, think of it, again, layperson's terms, but the point is it damages the what's supposed to be a very smooth pipe. It's very important that blood vessels are very smooth, and anywhere where they're not smooth, it starts to create issues. And so anything that's really causing the sides of the blood vessels to get rougher and rougher, bad. Then continuing this quote, the spike protein is also toxic to heart muscle, causing myocardial injury. And why wouldn't, if it's if you will, sharp enough, a cockle burr enough to cause it in blood vessels, then of course it can cause it in the heart. There are also case reports of autopsy-proven vaccine-mediated encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. This is very simple. This is very, very simple, folks. I've told you this before. The vaccine is on the same type of carrier that the nanotech that, I'm sorry, not nanotech. Don't even go there. Don't, you're going to think I'm too conspiratorial. Just go listen to my previous episodes. Nanomaterials are the basis potentially for the adjuvant. And I believe translated, it means it's really the basis for what the coating is on. What the coating is on. It's got to be on something because it can't just be hanging out there as a free DNA or RNA string. I could be wrong about that. You'd have to listen to some of my episodes, see what one of my distinctions and speculations are. I believe it's probably in a nanolipid packaging because inside the nanolipid packaging, you know what happens when you put a nanoparticle in free-forming blood? It creates a corona in free-forming blood. And so probably what they did was, you know how we create this corona? Which, oh, by the way, the virus does have, I'm sorry, the vaccine has. Well, it is interesting, although this is pure speculation. I just want you to hear me now. If you were to ever think of potential of engineered, and we don't have to go there in this episode, and I don't think I've gone there usually because I don't think we need to go there. But if you ever wanted to understand whether such a thing could be, I don't think the scale is right. But the funny thing is, if you put any nanoparticle in the proper amount of blood, guess what gets created? A corona around the nanoparticle, like the nanometal. So what I was going to say is that the reason that it gets inflammation of the brain is because we know that carriers of drugs are put on tiny, tiny nanoparticle size metals and the like, so that on such a small carrier, they can go past the blood-brain barrier. That's really smart. Let's purposely go past the blood-brain barrier and cause it and call it a victory. And so by the same token then, our smart but not wise, not looking at the entire calculus of anything, big pharma industry will say, hey, so these graphene oxides we got all over the place due to industry could also be used, you know, could really, because you've got studies out that say they should be an adjuvant. And you've got studies out that say they should be a nanoparticle drug carrier. Hey, they could be used as an adjuvant. And it could be used as something that would have a carrier in antidepressants that are meant to pass the drug, the blood-brain barrier. And here we are with, and I'll restart the quote again, there are also case reports of autopsy-proven vaccine-mediated encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. That's because the vaccine is on a tiny little piece of nanometal that is probably, quote, the drug carrier. Outside of the context of it, quote, being a vaccine, you wouldn't necessarily call it an adjuvant, in my opinion. Because remember, would have not been what we would call vaccines before. We would have called these, without deciding to call it a vaccine, we would have called it a carrier of messenger RNA coding. Because that's what it is. Or at least coding. I can't remember whether coming in, it's just that, it is the coding, whether it's a messenger RNA or not. That ends up being what happens. Yeah, we go into the protein factory and then that tells it what to do. I believe it's the messenger RNA coding right there, but maybe it's because it's called that later. Point is, it is the instructions. The instructions have to go somewhere. Where do they go? On a tiny nanoparticle razor blade that can then invade the cell. And because they're in a tiny nanoparticle razor blade, it can also potentially, or quite purposely, I'm not sure which, pass the blood-brain barrier. And therefore, quote, there are also case reports of autopsy-proven vaccine-mediated encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. And those were on the list, as I recall. I could be wrong. You could go listen to, I keep telling you the other episodes, and I will pause. When I talked about the episodes that covered the slideshow from October 2020 that was barely shown during an eight-hour meeting, I did list those different effects, and I believe one of them was encephalitis, but I could be wrong. So it could be that that was already on the list in October 2020, 2 months before most people, 3 months before most people had any kind of access to that vaccine. So let me go look up that slide real quick. And by the way, that's my cat having fun with something, which means he's in a good mood. So good for him. Let me find those so you can look and confirm yourself. Because again, I'm not guaranteeing it was on that list, but I'm going to tell you where you can listen, because I definitely named off what was on that list in the last two that I did and maybe in the first one. So I'll name off those episodes very quickly for you. The ones that might have mentioned encephalitis. And so let me find those real quick. Okay, one episode is Quick Rant of Truth 79. The other one's Quick Rant of Truth 78. The first one is named Quick Rant of Truth, or rather the last one. So there were two different parts of an eight-hour meeting that discussed this, and one of my episodes goes over one. The other episode goes over the other. I include the audio. So Quick Rant of Truth 79 was October 2020 8-hour online meeting with the experts and decision makers, but no time to show the known risks, second instance. So for that one, I have a really pretty substantial timeline, so you know what to jump into or not. And then let's talk about Quick Rant of Truth 78. I want to review these because I think it's possible that in one of the descriptions, I might have the absolute confirmation of what the list said, but I just don't remember. Quick Rant of Truth 78, what we know in October 2020, it will do to people. Oh, why spend even two seconds out of 8 hours showing you that? And so let me see if I mention, I do not mention inside the description itself what those read, but I definitely mention in the podcast itself whether or not that vaccine-induced encephalitis might be on those lists. So again, that ending of that quote, there are also case reports of autopsy-proven vaccine-mediated encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, myocarditis. Now, that was certainly on the October 2020 slides. And vasculitis, I don't think that specifically was. Maybe another term that kind of meant that was. FYI, vasculitis is just the inflammation of blood vessels. It may also, but again, I'm not an expert on this. I'm looking at this very quickly. It may be like significantly so. It's kind of odd because the Wikipedia starts with vasculitis is a group of disorders that destroy blood vessels by inflammation. So vasculitis seems to be the severe form of it. I should say the severe form of a vascular problem. And then that last episode that mentioned the 2020 slideshow that I think I probably listed it off in, but I don't know if you need to go back to there, but it's that Quick Rant of Truth 22 that I mentioned before, 14 days for it to be, quote, not a vax death. FDA knew bad effects 13 months ago, more. So, all right, guys, let me see if there's anything else I want to discuss real quick. Well, I think that's about it, having thought about it. Only other thing I'll tell you is that I will go to town on my legislators. And Looking back at that, yeah, maybe not the best idea. Now, they should understand they need to be our heroes. And that means that a citizen is pretty irritated in a time of tyranny. They should take that. So I'm not saying it's not better than nothing. But on the other hand, try to pump them up a little bit. You know, they're allegedly humans too. And, you know, maybe you say, hey, you, I know you got there. I mentioned this in another episode, but I know you went there because you believed in the country. I know you had your ideals. You are our champion. And I believe in your ability to be our champion again and be a historically important person who will stand up for the citizens. Now, there's one side that's not going to mean anything to. But for those who at least are along the lines of having a clue, maybe the positive feedback as opposed to merely like, why the hell haven't you done something yet? While totally valid, that latter, you know, approach, the former approach, maybe, you know, the whole more bees with honey or whatever the heck that is. Isn't that even right? I don't know. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley again. Please follow. Please like episodes. Please tell people. And go ahead and email me if you'd like at TysonHarley1776@duck.com. And you can go find me over on Chemology 411. That's another podcast with Kim Schultz and I. We've been doing it now for 3 years. So, yeah, every single week we have put out an episode or more than one. So, yeah, we have a catalog over there. We have what you call a catalog up in here and on the internet in general. So go find me over there and continue to listen to me over here. Appreciate it very much. And also, if you're fellow podcasters or if you have show ideas, email me. I might be interested in going ahead and being synergistic with some other podcasters, depending on what your podcast is about. And if you're open to even listening for long, you're probably in the same wheelhouse. I'd be happy to cooperate with you. Thanks, guys and girls, ladies and germs, and so on. Everybody listening throughout the world, all my Indian friends, because as I touched on previously before, man, some decent percentage of my podcast is listened to over in the great subcontinent of India. Appreciate it, folks, and plenty of people all around the world also listen, so I do appreciate that. Thanks, guys.